hello, hello, everybody. REI Society. Today I'm going to talk to you about my worst flip ever. And this actually happened 2 years ago. So 16 years into my business, doing business and being the expert that I am, I dropped my guard. And it's easy to do when you're doing volume flipping like I'm doing. To be quite honest with you, it was pretty rough time. I had actually had a contractor who was referred to me from a friend, and he come highly referred, did really good work there. I saw the work and I was really impressed. So I vetted the guy out, talked to him, and we started a job together. He gave me a bid. We did a job, and I want to say I made like $50,000 on this property when we sold it. So the first deal went through smooth after vetting him out from my friend. I hired him. I made $50,000 on my first flip with this gentleman, and then I offered him a second flip. The second flip went shitty, to be quite honest with you. The second flip was just extremely bad. Let me just tell you the story. I bought a 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch with a basement that had to be finished. And it was in a suburb of Atlanta. And the property itself, you know, I borrowed money on. I had a hard money loan, so I'm making payments every month. And the story I'm about to tell you just makes me think that, what was I thinking with dealing with this contractor? So I want you to learn from this, as I have learned. But this gentleman gave me a $40,000 repair or renovation budget based on everything I wanted to do, which was probably light, but I guess he liked the work, the steady work, going from one job to the next. And he said he was going to do this job for $40,000. Well, we didn't have a contract. He was a new contractor. And as I've already told you in previous episodes, I always recommend having a contract. That way you have your milestones. Everybody's on the same page. Everything is line itemed and broken down, split into different segments on the scope of work, and everybody knows what they're getting themselves into. But because he was a family friend, I did my first deal and I didn't have a contract in this situation. I did, and my second deal didn't have a contract because, like I said, I made $50,000 on the first flip. Well, the second one, we didn't have the contract as well, and he started working. Like I said, it was $40,000 job. He gave me a repair estimate, a renovation budget. I agreed to it. And after a couple of weeks worth of work, he had asked me if he can get a $10,000 draw. I said, yes, sure, why not? I went to the property, looked at it. To the naked eye, everything was looking good. And I sent him $10,000. So now comes another draw request within a couple more weeks, right after the first one. Go to look at the property like I always do. Anytime somebody's asking me for money, I step foot on the property. I look at the property again, and yeah, it looks like it's got another $10,000 invested into it. So sure, here's $10,000. I give this gentleman 50% of the renovation budget at this point. Well, within a couple of weeks, this gentleman sends me back a text, says, hey, I'm trying to get granite and cabinets and a few things ordered, and I need you to send me $10,000. I said, okay, sure. Now, you gotta think, I was flipping 30 homes at this point on portfolio at the same time, and I'm running all over Atlanta, being the runner myself. I didn't have anybody in place at that point. I was the runner. I was looking at every project, and I just couldn't get on that side of town because it was the only flip that we were doing on this side of town where this property, this 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch was, that we're finishing the basement. We're going to add another bathroom and 2 more bedrooms downstairs. I just couldn't get out there. But in my experience with this gentleman, I felt like he was honest. I felt like everything was good and kosher. And I said, well, whatever. I just sent him $10,000. I didn't look at the property. And that was my biggest mistake right there. I didn't look at the property. So a couple weeks go by, I finally get to that side of town. Now it's been a while since that last request of $10,000 to go buy all this stuff. I go to the property finally, and I see that nothing has been done since the second draw request. And this gentleman has already received $30,000, and nothing's been done since after the $20,000 he's received. And he told me he was gonna be buying cabinets and granite and all these materials to start working on the property. So of course, I'm extremely frustrated when I see the property and I'm confused. And I'm sitting there like, wondering what happened. It's kind of like if, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen to you, but I was sucker punched in a bar when Tiffany and I got married. And we were having a drink, we were with some friends, and all of a sudden this guy just comes up to me, throws his arms around me, throws his arm around my neck, over around my head, and just gets real close to me, close talking, and just saying, "Hey, you just need to chill out, man." I'm like, "Who are you? What are you talking about? I haven't bothered you." He's like, "No, you're bothering the waitress." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I just ordered food. What are you talking about?" And then all of a sudden, bam, he sucker punches me in the face. And it took like 90 seconds for me to realize what happened. I had never been in a fight. I had never been punched in the face. And this guy was just drunk and he wanted to pick a fight. And after 90 seconds, I got really, really mad. And people were trying to hold me down because I was shouting. I was screaming. I mean, all my adrenaline hit me and I was really, really just furious. Somebody just punched me after I realized what happened. But I was in shock for 90 seconds. And, you know, because of, after being in shock for 90 seconds, I got really, really agitated. I started grabbing anything I could and start chunking at the guy. He had already walked off at this point. He had walked off and, you know, everybody was holding me down. Like, "Hey man, this guy's crazy. You don't need to mess with him. We know of this guy. He is not somebody you want to mess with." I'm like, "Ah, blah." I'm fighting, trying to get out of the hold so I can go after and murder this guy. Well, that's what I felt like in this experience with this flip. I was over here in shock, probably longer than 90 seconds, probably more like 9 minutes, walking through the property, trying to realize what the freak happened. And then it hit me. This guy screwed me. And I was extremely frustrated. I'm extremely mad. So I'm calling him. He's not answering my phone calls. I'm calling him like 18 times in a row. Like, what is going on? I realize I've been duped. Now I'm texting him. He's not responding. So I go, I'm doing this for 2 and 3 days, you know, not getting any responses. Then I send them emails and I'm not getting any responses. So after a week, I'm not getting any responses. I'm really mad. I call my attorney up and he's basically telling me, "You don't have a contract. You can't do anything about this. And you know, regardless of whether you have text saying this and this and that, it's his word against your word. And honestly, he can say he's done more work than what he's already done. And you're just going to be in a legal battle for years to come. Like, you're screwed." I'm like, "Oh shoot, this is terrible." So I finally called the guy up, regardless of what my attorney said. I finally called the guy up and left him a very hateful voicemail. And I said, "Look, I'm going to sue you. You're a thief. You're rotten. Like, you are the worst scum of the earth. You're going to jail for fraud. I'm taking you to court. I'm taking everything you got." Well, guess what? That son of a gun called me up. He cussed me out. He's like, "Who are you to call me this thief and blah, 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 blah. You mother effer. You mother effer. I'm going to come over there and kick your teeth in. I've done all this work and you making all that money and I ain't making anything." I'm like, excuse me. Now I'm trying to like calm down. I'm like, I realize this is going bad. This is going down south. This is going south quick. So I get really, really, toned down. I have read some self-improvement books, which helps me know how to deal with different characters. But this gentleman personally just really frustrated me. But I knew that I needed to calm myself down. So I'm trying to talk to him. I'm trying to be nice to him. I'm like, "Hey, look, can you help me here? Like, I know you're probably in a bad spot. Something happened. If you need more money, just let me know. But we got to get through this. We're only 50% of the way done. And I paid you for 75% of the way done. We were paying you in 4 installments, 10 grand, 10 grand, 10 grand, and 10 grand. But you've been paid 30 and we only got $20,000 worth of work done. What's going on?" He's like, look, you know, I mean, we had all my crews over there and then people were getting frustrated because they were working all day. And honestly, I've got all these other jobs I had to run off over here and I'll get back to work." I said, "Okay, let's do it." So he said he was gonna go back to work. I go to the property a couple of days later, nothing's happened. The guy lied to me. He just lied to me. So then I'm calling him again. I'm trying to promise him more jobs. He gets on the phone. I'm promising him more jobs. Like, "Look, you got to get to work." He's telling me now he had gotten to the job and he's a Brazilian gentleman. He said, "Look, I got a couple of illegal people over here. They ran them off. The code enforcement came by and ran them off." I'm like, "Really? Huh?" I go back to the property. If you know anything about real estate and you were doing anything without permits and code enforcement comes, we didn't pull permits. code enforcement comes, they're going to put a stop work order on the front door. There was nothing like that on the front door. This guy blatantly lied to me again, over and over and over. Now I'm getting really, really pissed. I'm getting murderously pissed, kind of like the guy that hit me in the bar. I'm ready to just freaking take this guy down. So I'm calling him, I'm texting him, I'm emailing him. Nothing. I'm like giving the worst text and then I'm giving the nicest text. Like, you know, I'm like fight or flight mode. Nothing. Couple months now, my job's been shut down. Nothing. I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'm at the point where I have to make an extremely pivot, an extreme pivot on this property now. I had like three crews at the time and I brought this guy on because I was having too much inventory going to my two crews and my properties were being delayed. So I had to go call one of my crews up and say, hey, can you come over here and just quote this? I need to finish this and move beyond this. I'm probably going to sue this other guy. Even though in my head I knew I couldn't really get a good case through because I didn't have documentation, but I just told him that and he gave me an estimate to renovate the property. Well, come to find out, this first contractor really screwed me. He fake wired electrical wiring in. He just put wire in the wall and never did anything with it. And he charged me for it and said it was complete. And I guess I was walking through probably when I walked through on my draw request walkthrough. And I just saw wire being in there, like it was probably in the middle of working. But this guy just did a crappy job, didn't finish the job. So all the stuff that he said he had completed, even at a 50% position in the renovation, it was more like 20% complete based on my contractor, which is an actual GC and builder, going through the property and seeing everything line item by line item. This guy defrauded me, not only lied to me and stole from me, he's defrauded me. So here's the thing. I go to this second contractor and say, look, what's the best price? Can you help me? Like anything you can do to help me. So he helps me with cost. He gives me a budget, you know, based on his cost. And it was, I want to say it was another $30,000 to complete. And I had already had the $30,000 I spent with the contractor, as well as I spent a little bit more money with an HVAC. I had to sub a couple pieces out, some foundation work. So I was already $10,000 just in subs from the original contractor or project manager. So I'm 40 grand in, and then I've got to go in, which was all of my budget. You know, it was actually 50 total. It was 40 with the original project manager and then $10,000 with subs. So it was going to be a $50,000 rehab budget in totality. But now I'm having to go spend another 30. So 30 plus 10 is 40 plus another 30. That's 70,000. That's $70,000 total I had in this rehab by the time it went from start to finish. Now, I am really like nervous. I'm getting up there with what the property's ARV is. I was only going to be in this property for 50 grand. Now I'm in it for 70, and I've been floating payments every month for like 9 months. I was just dealing with this. And I think it got completed on month 10 finally. So it took me forever to get through this rehab, and then not only getting through the rehab, now I paid all this money. We put it up for sale. I'm listing it for higher above the comps because I knew if I listed at what the comp was after paying everything, I probably wasn't going to make a lot of money. So I'm like shooting for the stars, hoping with the appreciation that's been in Atlanta over the last 2 years was going to continue to rise, and maybe I'll nail it. You know, I'll hit the home run or grand slam even with this deal. So, anyways. We list it, we get silence. Not a lot of people looking at it. So I finally, after a month, reduce it to the current comp price, the real comp price. And it's already had several days on the market now, 30 days on the market. Well, in this market, even 2 years ago, especially now, if it ain't moved in 30 to 45 days, somebody thinking something's wrong with it. So we've done blacklisted ourselves on the MLS. So we're starting to get showings. 3 months go by. I think I'm going to say I've held this property for close to a year at this point, or at a year. 3 months go by, and we finally get a contract. And then we go through this, and there was so much work that this original contractor did that the second contractor had to go in and correct. But a lot of things were just missed, and the inspection came back so freaking bad. I spent several thousand dollars and just fixing this property up in the inspection. by the time it sold, within a year, I had lost, I want to say, $38,000, almost 40. I lost $38,000 on this property. And it was a reckoning for me. Like, I understood what I did as a leader that made me fail. I didn't take my own advice. I didn't have contracts. I basically gave an advance, essentially, for this guy, because I didn't verify that work was being done. But remember, he told me that he was going to order cabinets. He was going to order granite. And I didn't go look at the property again, but he told me he was going to do something that hadn't already been done. And I gave him money for doing something that hadn't already been done with no contract. So I broke two cardinal rules. I had no contract with this new contractor, and I had, I gave him an advance. You don't give a contractor an advance unless you have a contract. I mean, I still wouldn't recommend it, honestly. You know, I do have a contractor right now. I'll give 50% up front, but I have a contract that we've signed. You know, when you're starting off with somebody new, I would recommend having them front it all, and then you give them draws, have that conversation. But look, this was the worst flip ever, because I broke those cardinal rules. Advances is a no-no. Not visiting your property or having somebody verify what the work's been done before you pay money is a no-no. You only pay on draws. You don't give advances, and you're always going to visit the property and make sure that the work has been done, that the contractor's done. Thank you, guys. I'm really excited about this episode. I really wanted to share this with you. Even after 16 years, you know, at that point, 2 years ago for me, I had gotten so busy. I wasn't paying attention to my business. And then, you know, I want you guys to understand that in the Rich Dad Poor Dad book, Robert Kiyosaki says, you got to mind your business. You got to mind your own business. When he's not like talking about, you know, minding your own business and not getting involved in other people's business, he's talking about minding your own affairs, minding your own business, because nobody else is going to do it for you. You have to set a person in leadership to go run for you and see these properties when you're volume flipping, which I should have done. You know, I had the money to do it, but I was just so OCD. I wanted to control everything. So I was one, and then I just didn't do it. Or you have to be the person that goes do it. You're the only one that's going to protect your business. You're the only one, kind of like Smokey the Bear says, that can prevent forest fires. I hope this episode hits you home. I hope this episode makes you realize that you have to be careful when you're working with people, even people that come highly referred, even people who have done a good job and you can vet them and they have good work. You have to be careful. You have to mind your own business. Okay, guys, if you don't mind, go ahead and take a screenshot of this episode, put it in Instagram, tag me in it, share it with all your friends. Text me in the number in the show notes if you have any questions about this or any other real estate or business related question. I'd be more than happy to text you back, and it's really me texting. If you're interested in any training courses on the four pillars of real estate, wholesaling or fix and flips, or long-term rentals or short-term rentals, go to reisocietyedu.com. I got that linked in the show notes again. And then until next time, see you in the next episode. Thank you. Bye-bye.